Time magazine has a nice piece, too, Four Things to Know. This is the story of the astronomers striking gold as two neutron stars collide. They've detected a collision of two neutron stars, and they say that's where the gold and platinum comes in the universe. The powerful smash-up produced gravitational waves that were picked up by observatories. It emitted a broad swath of electromagnetic radiation that could be seen by traditional telescopes. The ones that you or I could have were able to actually see some of the vestiges of this explosion or collision that took place 130 million, how many years ago? The cosmic crash described Monday occurred about 130 million light years away. I don't have the date on this, but I actually think they do. Earth's first inkling of the neutron star collision came August 17th after detectors measured a powerful gravitational chirp. The findings could explain the mysterious origins of a type of gamma ray burst known as short hard, which produces brief but highly energetic gamma ray bursts and powerful flashes of light. What's happened here and why is everybody so jazzed about it? Dr. Daniel Holtz is an associate professor at the Kavli Institute for Cosmological Physics at our own University of Chicago, and he joins us now on WGN. So what's, I don't know where to start with this, but I mean, what should we know about this? How extraordinary, it wasn't extraordinary that this happened, but that we were able to witness it, right?
Yeah, that's right. So we've thought for a long time that neutron stars every now and then should crash into each other and that these would be spectacular explosions. But what we've done now is detected one in gravitational waves, which is an absolute first. We've detected binary black holes in the past in gravitational waves. And in fact, the Nobel Prize just a couple of weeks ago went to the first detection of gravitational waves from black holes colliding. But this, having two neutron stars collide, has never been detected before, and now we've done it. So that was a big development.
Yeah. And a neutron star is the remains of a collapsed sun that's crushed down on itself so that it's like, what, like 20 miles across or something,
right? That's right. That's right.
But it's super dense.
The entire sun, and you just crush it down. So it's very, very dense.
And like a teaspoon of it weighs a billion tons or something.
That's right. That's
literally,
right.
A teaspoon of it weighs a billion tons. I mean, yeah. I could live with that for a couple of days just imagining that. What does that even mean?
Right. That's right. It's very hard. I mean, it's basically, you can think of it as a giant atomic nucleus. But
okay.
Maybe that, you know,
and so then there's one of them, and then hokey smokes. And by the way, space stuff is very dispersed. But two of these things find each other, whip around each other, and then slam into each other, right?
At close to the speed of light.
And then when they go kapow, then what happens?
Right. So first they emit all these gravitational waves, which are these ripples in space and time itself, and we detect those. But what's particularly interesting now is not only did we detect those, we also detected light. We detected gamma rays, which is, you know, very, you can think of it as very blue light, so blue it's even past X-rays. It's the sort of brightest form of light. And we've detected optical light that you could see with normal telescopes, and we've even detected radio waves. We've detected the full spectrum.
How long ago did these two neutron stars collide? When did this happen?
So, as you said, we think it's about 130 million years ago. And the light has been traveling to us this whole time and just arrived at our detector, swept through the Earth on August 17th.
Did we know this was coming, or was it just good fortune that we happened to be looking at the right place?
We figured that this would happen every now and then, but we certainly didn't have any advance warning that this particular one was going to happen. We were just very lucky.
So something goes beep, and a guy sitting in front of a machine goes, "Hey, what's that, Bob?" And then the next thing you know, this happened. I mean, that it just happened?
That's right. That's exactly what happened. In fact, one of the first people to get the beep was someone who works here at UChicago who said, you know, looked at one of the, we get these pictures of what's been seen and said, "Well, that looks really interesting. Maybe we should be excited about this."
Was his name Bob?
No, Reed.
Reed
right. Essex.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, all right, so then that happens. And so then you guys say, wow, we think we've got one here. 130 million years ago. So what was going on Earth when that happened? Were we here?
We were not here. This is well before humans showed up.
There was Earth, right?
Yeah, but there was Earth. Earth had been around for a couple of billion years, but it was a pretty different time.
Yeah.
And one interesting thing about this is that it's taken 130 million years for the light to get to us and for the gravitational waves to get to us, but they arrived at basically the same time, within 2 seconds, which tells us that gravitational waves travels at the speed of light, which is something we'd never been able to measure before.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's very exciting if you're a physicist.
I know what you're thinking. Boy, I hope John tries to explain gravity to us. Here's my understanding of gravity. You need to think of the, because I've always been mystified by gravity. That is, why is it the one object that doesn't have a string attached to another object? How is it the one object is able to exert an influence on another? Why are we orbiting around the sun? What is the attraction? Where's the energy or the string or the thing that keeps us pulled towards another object? And everything exerts gravitational pull on everything. You and I exert gravitational pull on each other. Say nothing of the sun and the planet. So here's the way I figured it out. That you have to think of the universe. Are you still with me?
Yes, I am. It's great.
Have to think of the universe as a trampoline. Steve, are you listening to this? Think of the universe as a trampoline. And somewhere on the trampoline, someone has set a bowling ball. Now, you and I are coming along on the trampoline. And as we get closer to the trampoline, we're going to sort of fall into a, rather than travel in a straight line, we're now going to travel in a slightly curved line because the bowling ball is pulling the fabric of the trampoline down. So now we're sort of falling into the curved arc that the bowling ball has created. You can just imagine a pea riding across that, and now it would be circling around and around because it's going down. And it is that natural inclination of things to fall into the orbit of those heavier things that is gravity. There's no magical pull. It's just the natural course of things and the fabric of space-time. Your thoughts?
That was a fantastic description. That's exactly what Einstein came up with almost exactly a century ago. You would have put him out of business. That's exactly what he said, which was it's the curvature of space and time itself. And he came up with that specifically because he was uncomfortable, just as you just described, with this idea of magic strings that connect everything and pull them, which is what, what the theory said before.
So then,
the one thing I would add now is, now you have to imagine if you kind of shake that bowling ball on the trampoline, what will happen is the trampoline will start to vibrate.
Right.
And those vibrations are the gravitational waves. That's what we've detected, is those vibrations in space and time shooting out from the bowling ball. In this case, the bowling ball is replaced by two ultra-dense neutron stars circling each other at the speed of light, or close to the speed of light.
So if I was going to travel to that spot then, would it take me longer? Because now I've got to go up and down these waves?
It would take you just a little. There would be an effect, but it's minuscule. And the effect is so minuscule that it took, absolutely cutting-edge technology, the best lasers we have, the shiniest mirrors, the absolute state-of-the-art, just to detect these tiny vibrations.
Isn't it amazing that we were able to pick this up? I mean, just think about the distance and the time. Go humanity. Okay, so then how is it that somehow they said, oh, that's where the platinum and the gold came from? Are you telling me that the gold that's on my ring right now was somehow created by the collision of a couple of neutron stars a zillion years ago?
Yep, that's one of the things we figured out from this. And the story goes as follows. What we've seen here, we've detected in the gravitational waves that it's two neutron stars crashing into each other. And then what we've done is we've looked at the light, and the light is consistent with what we would expect if there was a bunch of gold and platinum made in this collision.
What do you mean made, though? Like, do you literally mean there's goblets of gold flying through space right now as a result of this?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, there's...
What the explosion does is it synthesizes. You start with a bunch of neutrons. The star itself is, we call it a neutron star because it's essentially just a bunch of neutrons. But then when you rip those apart, the neutrons start synthesizing and you end up, it's called nucleosynthesis, you end up with a bunch of elements and you produce things including gold and platinum. And it's very hard to do that in any other way in the universe.
Oh, tell me about it. Okay, so then, but I mean, literally that we have gold on Earth means that at one upon a time that happened in that stuff fell to Earth, or it was part of Earth's creation?
It was part of Earth's creation. So the idea here is this: one of these events, which we call a kilonova, it creates a lot of gold. In fact, the equivalent of, say, 10 Earths worth of gold. So a lot. This is a lot of gold. But it just spews it out. It's a huge explosion. It just spews it out and kind of pollutes the galaxy with the gold. And so we've had lots of these over the history of the universe. Yeah. And so our galaxy has been, you know, quote, polluted. It's just full of this gold. And then when the Earth formed, some of the gold was hanging around and it fell and became part of the
into
Earth.
The orbit and contributed into the Earth. Okay, so now, here's the thing that's kind of scary. They say that this burst that we witnessed had gamma rays. The gamma rays, intensely enough and focused appropriately enough, could wipe out life on Earth. Is that true? How close did this come to harming us? And what are the chances that, in fact, that will happen to us? Doc? We're talking about these neutron stars that collided with Daniel Holtz. He's a professor at the University of Chicago. And, Doc, before we just took that quick break, I asked you about the gamma rays. What are those, and are those dangerous, and did we just miss a bullet here?
So I've been furiously scribbling away during the ad break, and I just calculated that it should be one roughly every 100 million years might go off in our galaxy.
One of those neutron stars?
One of these neutron star collisions that will generate the gamma rays.
Oh, so we're cool.
I think we're okay. And, most of them won't point our way anyway, because the gamma rays are emitted in a very narrow beam.
Okay.
So I think we're safe.
I thought I heard somewhere that, like, boy, good thing that thing didn't hit us or wipe us out, that it could have zapped us. Not so much, huh?
Not so much. We barely detected it with our gamma ray telescopes.
Your favorite space movie, and you do get to say Gravity, starring George Clooney and Sandra Bullock, I won't judge.
I loved Gravity. I took my class to see it. That was a great movie.
Well, then there it is. Do you have another movie you would recommend?
Well, I also really enjoyed Interstellar. I also took my
class. That's on my list. I just had that written down.
Oh, great. There you go. Yeah, that's a great movie. And it was Kip Thorne, who just won the Nobel Prize, was one of the people involved in writing the screenplay for that and worked very hard to try to keep it scientifically accurate, but, kind
interesting
of
still.
Being free. Yeah, keeping an open mind about the possibilities.
Okay, the next time you're on, and there will be a next time, let's talk movies, okay?
Perfect. I would love to.
And we'll talk other science, too. Doctor, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.